This episode of Behind the Video is brought to you by the Independent Media Network. The Independent Media Network helps journalists and content creators create their own jobs by building sustainable online businesses. If you're an unemployed or underemployed journalist or content creator, visit imnct.com for more information. Hey everybody, it's Lon Seidman. We are back for Behind the Video. This is episode number 80. And before we begin, first of all, I want to introduce co-host of the show, Tim Street. Tim, from LA.
Hello.
Tim's been partying it up. It's holiday season, which means that you never get a break from the social activity, right?
There's always places to go. And the funny thing is that it doesn't stop because right after the holidays is New Media Expo and CES, and there are lots of parties there. Although I think this year I'm going to go for all of New Media Expo and only stay for a day or two of CES. So hopefully that will put in less wear and tear on my body.
I bet. Yeah, I bet. And what kind of connections are there between video production like we do and CES? Is it the hardware that people use? Like, what kind of things
do you look for
there?
It's not just the hardware. It's also, you think about the consumer electronics manufacturers. They need to get their message out. So they need people like us to talk about the new products to help them cut through the clutter. And so it's a great opportunity for web video creators to meet marketing people from these consumer electronics companies and figure out how they can do business together. You know, some of the early shows in web video were sponsored by Kodak or sponsored by Samsung, and that's continuing. So there are people that are that are making relationships with the consumer electronics industry and then having them sponsor their web series.
And before we bring on our guest, we should thank our producer because, we're on our 80th episode of doing this podcast. And
yeah.
And our producer is Jason Perrier, who is just like so consistent in that he has just when I'm thinking like, I wonder what we're going to talk about this week. My Google Docs dings me and says, hey, Jason has put together the show notes for the week, and he's been a really big help to us here. So we just wanted to give a shout out at the end of the year to Jason. And he does some consulting work, too. So if you're in the need for someone to help you with the kind of things that we talk about, I think Jason is equipped to do that. You know, a lot of web-based things and producing activities and that sort of thing.
Yeah, Jason's incredible. The only thing that limits Jason is his ISP.
That's
otherwise,
right.
He'd be on the show with us.
Jason's in Canada, and for whatever reason, whenever he comes on the show, maybe like Canada and Google have some problems because we get him for like all of about 15 or 20 seconds, and then his internet conks out on him. So it's been rather difficult for him to work there. So, and I think Rick is still working his way in. So let's take a look quickly at the charts. And then when he pops in, we will pivot over and talk about New Media Expo. So we took a look this week. This is thanks to TubeFilter, who helps us with this. Well, they help themselves with it. We just borrow their list. The top five channels of the week. And number five is Spinnin'. Have you ever heard of Spinnin', Tim?
No.
So Spinnin' is a electronic dance music channel. So a lot of those top DJs are performing on it. They do like a lot of real world stuff too, like shows and that sort of thing. And they're like the top.
Do they do any Prancercise?
I don't know about Prancercise, but I do know that Masha and the Bear is number four, and that's had 34.8 million views this week. It is a Russian kids cartoon show.
Well, you gotta love that, right? Russian kids cartoon shows.
Yeah, if you're in Russia, I think it works great. There's no English version of it, so you have to kind of know your Russian to go in there. Oddly enough, they are producing an app, and there was an English version of the app trailer, but not for the rest of it's in just in Russian. And it's an interesting thing because I was looking at this thinking, wow, it's because our number three is Muyap, who's the Turkish music channel that we talked about before.
Right, right.
So there is so much internationally on YouTube. And I decided to go take a look at my own earnings. And I did like one of those lifetime reports just to see where the money's coming from. And surprisingly, and I was surprised by this, only 60...
It's from Turkey?
No. But only 61% of my revenue comes from the United States. The rest of it is distributed out across the world. Number two is Great Britain. Number three was Germany, where English is not the native language, and I speak a very poor form of English, and I was surprised by that. So,
well, you know, I would imagine that, you know, with the stuff that you review, it becomes really important to folks that don't have access to those products early on, right?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, that's true, because a lot of the stuff ends up here first and then it makes its way over there. And I guess there's enough people who understand English well enough to do that. I guess maybe they could turn on the captions, because those do get translated. But the you know, the automatic transcription is bad enough as it is. I can't even imagine what
it looked like. Unfortunately for the international community, a lot of times products are released in the U.S. first. And so there are, you know, early adopters that want to get their head around it, and your videos are some of the first that they can do that. So I think that explains why, you know, folks would want to get a hold of your stuff.
That could very well be. And, you know, it's just one of those living in the future moments where, you know, you can sit and produce a YouTube video and be able to not only have people watch it from all over the world, but actually have ads targeted at those particular places too, which is really pretty amazing stuff. So, just a little diversion there, but number two on our list of top YouTube charts this week was Ellen DeGeneres, 35.9 million views this week. So
that's pretty good, right?
Yeah, you know, she kind of ebbs and flows. I mean, she's always in that top 50 most of the time, but I think occasionally she'll maybe put something up that gets a lot of sharing and that sort of thing going on.
Yeah,
so,
you know, both Ellen and Jimmy Kimmel have done really well at getting their programming out there on the internet to drive viewership to the regular show. I've heard from my friends over at Disney that Disney really let Jimmy just do what they wanted, and I think they've been very successful in some of the stuff that they've done. I'm kind of surprised that we haven't seen this week, you know, some kind of Jimmy Kimmel Christmas, you know, giving your kid the bad gift thing, you know, having that open up.
Because he's done he did that with Halloween. Well, he's done that before, right? Where they give the kid, like, and there's nothing in the box. Is that's what he does, right? That's funny.
Yeah, for sure.
That's great. And then number one this week is PewDiePie, 53 million views. He was up 14% over last week.
Wow.
Which is remarkable. I still don't get him, but hey, to each his own. So IAW-TV, Tim, is the awards show is upon us, and that's the last day of New Media Expo, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's actually the first day of CES.
And now joining us is Rick Calvert from New Media Expo. Rick, thank you for joining us.
Good to be here, Lon. Good to see you, Tim.
Hey.
We love Google Hangouts. it adds a lot of simplicity and a lot of complexity. So, but it's good that you're joining us. So,
I was trying to do a screen share with some folks last week, and it was something that shouldn't have been too difficult, but it took five of us about 45 minutes to get it all working so everybody could be in the video chat. So yeah, technology, we're so close for it to be really amazing, but we still got a little ways to go.
We are getting there. So Rick, tell us a little bit about the history of New Media Expo and how did we get to where we are now?
Well, it started when I had started a blog. I was a political blogger. It was called The Real Ugly American. I just did it for fun. And one thing led to another. I was getting you know, linked to by big blogs, and then I got the email that so many content creators get one day. It said, "How much does it cost to advertise on your blog?" And I thought, wow, this could be my job. I need to go to the trade show for this thing. And coincidentally, that was my day job at the time. I've been running trade shows since 1997. And so I started doing the research and looking for this event, what would it be, and realized it didn't exist, and it wouldn't just be about blogging. It would be about blogging, podcasting, web TV, and even today, you know, we still kind of argue about what the terminology is. A lot of podcasters hate calling it podcasting. A lot of people don't call it web TV. You know, some people call themselves YouTubers or digital video or online video. So that was back in 2006. And we've seen this evolution over these last 7.5 years now, to where podcasting really starting to emerge and become a really big part of the show. And Tim was there at Podcast Expo way back in the early days. And now Web TV, I think a lot of people have called this year the year of podcasting. I think this year is the breakout year for Web TV. I think next year is going to be a monstrous, monstrous time for web television. And you've seen that reflected in the event of New Media Expo.
And how do you see things? It's certainly been a heck of a year. I mean, there's a lot more money coming into Web TV and other platforms. Have you seen this evolve? Because I think if we go and look at print content, especially, you know, written things that you type out and do traditional writing on, that we've seen bloggers go from, or the blogging both as an individual and as a platform, go from, you know, something that we all just kind of did in our spare time to becoming now how news organizations are delivering things. Are you seeing similarities in how video is evolving in the way that print has, and is it happening faster with video than it did with print?
So first of all, yes, I'm seeing the exact same thing happen. And you might say that video is kind of where we were with print 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know that it's happening faster, but the numbers are bigger. And this is a thing I'm constantly reminding content creators to remember. We all like to think that, you know, we're reinventing the wheel and we're doing things better than traditional media has done in the past. And in some ways we are. The fact that we can all, you know, be on a Google chat right now and be creating content is a thing that couldn't happen in the past. But there are some things that traditional media can teach us too. And in a lot of ways, and Tim, I remember a talk Tim gave years ago about the history of storytelling through film. And in a lot of ways, we're recreating history that's already happened. So we should really look to what traditional media did successfully and emulate that. Because that, there's no doubt that Web TV will follow the exact same path that traditional media did, traditional television and film, with some twists, like what you see with Lizzie Bennet Diaries, right? With transmedia, we're going cross-platform. I mean, those are things that we can do different that traditional media didn't do, but it's still the storytelling that is the foundation of everything. If the storytelling's not good, then it doesn't matter.
You know, Rick, that brings up a really interesting point. A lot of my Web TV friends and some of the speakers that are coming to New Media Expo to speak on the Web TV track, they ask me, you know, what should I do at New Media Expo? How should I approach that? Because they haven't been before. And one of the things that I tell them, and I'd love it if you could expand on this a little bit, I say, pay attention to the bloggers and the podcasters. They've been doing this for 10 years. They have learned a few things that translate really well into web television. And I'm curious, you know, what are some of what are some of the sessions that are going to be going on in podcasting and in blogging that could be of interest to web TV people?
So this is another interesting thing about new media versus traditional media, and I always remind myself not to call it old media, right? Is that we really are cross-platform. And one of the things I would definitely advise Web TV creators to do is think about podcasting and think about blogging and have all of those things kind of tie together. One of the things that's still true is it's easier to search print than it is to search video. And so if you've got a strong blog supporting your video content, it will be easier for people to organically find it and consume that content, and then therefore you should be able better to monetize that. One of the most, always the most popular track at the show is monetization. We have a whole track at the show that's just about how to make money with your content. And there will be, again, this is a thing that's a little bit different in new media versus traditional media. In traditional media, you know, they sell advertising against the content. And then, you know, we had the invention of infomercials where the content really is an advertisement. There are so many different ways to monetize content in new media. And as you said, Tim, the bloggers have been doing this for a long time, and now podcasters have been doing it for a while, that I think video creators can learn a lot from. Look at what they do with print and audio content and try to apply those same successful formulas to their video content. And the other thing I would say, one of the things I love about New Media Expo is that you will meet people at this show that you will never meet anywhere else. You know, we have this collection of people from different worlds who happen to be in this same tribe of new media content creator. And you will only see those people at New Media Expo, and those people can be new business partners for you. They can create, they can be new creative influences for you.
Well, like you might have somebody like Tom Webster who does all the polling data for the elections, and then you also have a lady who runs a lingerie blog. And
right, from England.
Yeah.
and actually, I think she's on the Isle of Jersey, this tiny little island in the middle of nowhere.
Well, that's where all the money is, by the way. That's where, like, that's the Cayman Islands of Britain.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Jersey's where shelter. All the money gets in.
But for example, I mean, some of the names that you know, Tim, like Chris Brogan will be there as he is every year. Lynette Young, who has got over a million plus Google Plus followers. Also Amanda Blaine with over a million Google Plus followers. And you know, we're using this technology today, Google Plus. I think this is something video content creators should pay a lot of attention to. And we've already seen with some controversy, right, them tying Google Plus to YouTube. Google will force you to use Google Plus. And advertisers are paying attention to Google Plus. I read something several months ago now. There are now more plus ones on Google Plus than there are likes on Facebook.
Really? Wow.
Already.
Wow.
And you know, depending on the recent numbers, but it's 6 to 10, you know, Facebook 6 to 10 times bigger than Google Plus. So I mean, Google is tying everything they do into Google Plus. And so as a content creator, I would definitely pay attention to that, particularly video content creator.
How many people come to New Media Expo as attendees?
3,000 every year. Wow. It gets bigger. And I really think that in 2014, this year, again, you'll see more video content creators than ever before. I think in 2015, we're poised to kind of explode the amount of video creators you see. And this goes back to one of those lessons I was talking about from traditional media. If you look at traditional media, there is this pyramid, and print is at the bottom, and then audio and video is at the top. Now, that hasn't been true yet in new media, only because the technology's still catching up. But I think we're there, and it's going to be, in the very short time, most of the dollars in new media content will be in video, I mean, by far. So I think we're on the cusp of that.
Are there any keynote speakers that you can tell us about?
We've got a couple. Greg Benson, who I think a lot of video content creators know, will be hosting a keynote with us. Bernie Sue will be his guest, one of the creators, Lizzie Bennett Diaries. We also have Lynette Young, who I mentioned earlier, and a guy named Lee Auden, who I think you know pretty well, Tim. Lee is one of those guys that you would never see at a content creator event. He's a PR and marketing and SEO guy. I mean, he is a genius, but he gets content, and he always knows how to talk about that. Also, I'll break a little bit of news. We'll announce this tomorrow, but Leo Laporte, I call him the Pied Piper of podcasting, will be doing a keynote interviewing Norm Pattis from Podcast One and Noah Shattuck, the CEO of Stitcher Radio.
Wow.
And again, cool. That's another one of those things that I kind of see as a game-changing moment. You guys, I don't know if you're familiar with Podcast One, but Norm Pattis was the creator of a syndicated radio network called Westwood One, basically right. Invented syndicated radio. And he told me about 2 months ago he thinks podcasting will be as big or bigger than syndicated radio in terms of dollars. And put that in the perspective. That's podcasting enough. Money, dollars right now is in the tens of millions. Syndicated radio advertising is in the tens of billions.
Wow.
I think that's
incredible. And, you know, I think the problem that I see with podcasting is, you know, we're doing this show. It's very hard to promote it because there's technical, not a huge technical hurdle, but there's enough of one that people have to get some kind of app to consume this with. Maybe Stitcher is kind of in the right direction because it's a little bit, you know, a little bit more of a presented kind of platform.
Right.
But it is very hard right now. Like, we don't have the YouTube for podcasting yet, right? I mean, it's been surprising because it's been so long. But we've seen locally here a number of small networks start, and they have a really hard time building that audience. Even people that are really popular on local radio here have a hard time getting that transition over because of the hurdle of the app that they have to download. So that'd be an interesting topic to hear about.
Don't get me started about iTunes and Apple, but right. I mean, they're really the dominant influence for podcasting, the platform where people consume it, and they, in my opinion, provide no support for content creators. But I'll come back and say, John Lee Dumas, who's the number two business podcaster in the world, came to New Media Expo just over a year ago, had not started a podcast yet. John is not shy in saying he makes over six figures a month podcasting now in 1 year.
Wow. That's incredible. So
let me ask you this. You know, you've got all these different folks sharing their content, but you're also going to have some debates going on at New Media yeah. Expo. Can you tell us about the debates? Because this is something new, right?
Yeah, a guy named Sam Fiorella, really, really smart guy. I didn't realize quite how smart he was until we had a conversation about six, 7 months ago. He's come to the show many times. He's spoken to the show many times, and he had this idea. Why don't we do some debates on, you know, some pretty controversial things? And one of them I know is we're going to do on tribe marketing, on is it a good or a bad thing? Robert Scoble and Dino Dogan will be talking about that. And I know we're doing one on video, Tim, and we've went back and forth on the video debate. Do you know what the,
yeah,
what the latest?
Yeah, so that one is going to be David H. Lawrence from Heroes is going to be doing a debate with a gentleman from Washington, D.C., Michael Weinberg from Public Knowledge. And so they're going to be debating, will ISPs kill independent web video? It's not the exact title, but the idea is that with data capping, is that going to make it too hard for independent video creators to get their content out there? And so they're going to debate that. And I don't know if you've ever heard David Lawrence talk before, but he is incredible to listen to. He's just such a smart guy. And really, really funny, as well as being creepy on the show Heroes. He played the puppet master.
All right.
So we're really looking forward to that on the web TV track.
Again, just to show you, I mean, kind of how many things happen at New Media Expo, I didn't even realize until recently, and you know, David's been several times, and he said some really nice things about the show. I didn't know that David, in one of the web TV tracks, I believe it was last year, had kind of pitched an idea and now is producing. He got a sponsor there at the show and now is producing the show. And David,
that's right.
I was stunned because, I mean, again, like you said, he's a television star. I mean, he's been one of the top podcasters in the world for many years. He's been, you know, he's a veteran at web video. And I was just shocked that you know, he had found opportunity at the show.
So every year we try to do a IWTV Pitching Your Web Series panel where we have some folks that have experience or might be a you know, potential sponsor, or they've, you know, an agent, or, you know, we swap out different people every year. But we have folks come in and they pitch a web series to this panel, and then the panel gives them feedback on the idea for their show, but also on their pitching techniques, what they could do better. You know, sure would be great if you had a trailer or a PowerPoint presentation, or you could have made eye contact with us, or, you know, stuff like that. And David came in and pitched a show and then took that show and sold it. And not only did he do that, but he's coming back this year and he's doing a panel, David Lawrence is doing a panel, about what he did. And so he's going to share that information with us. So that'll be a great panel.
Kind of a case study of what he did.
Yeah, case study of what he did.
And Rick, you also have a show floor, basically a trade show kind of floor, where you can go and meet with vendors. What kind of vendors are there for people to meet with, and what should they be looking for?
So a pretty wide range of vendors there too. Like a WordPress has been there for several years now. We've got people like Radian6, who provide social media monitoring service. We've got other people who do web TV and podcasting services. So there are products there that content creators would use to create, distribute, and monetize content. So usually we have about 75 vendors on the show floor. And then we have another thing on the first day of the show. It's called Speed Networking, where content creators can meet with vendors. It's just an 8-minute meeting. there's no formal agenda, but you can kind of talk to each other for a few minutes, ask some really basic questions, and find out if there's a way that you two might work together in the future.
My calendar is getting full on that, too. I've been getting a lot of invites.
It's a good place to find potential sponsors for your web series, but you got to make sure that you have the goods, you know? Do you have an audience?
That is the key component. And Rick, I also noticed that there's also people that maybe don't get a booth, but they kind of lurk around, some pretty big brands, too. And I know we probably don't want to reveal identities, but I've seen some pretty important people just kind of wandering around, just incognito, trying to see what's out there, right?
At least half, and I haven't counted recently, of the Fortune 500 has been to our show. Ford, AT&T, Verizon, Wells Fargo, Citibank, Visa, I mean, on and on and on, are at the show, as well as big media, New York Times, San Francisco Chronicle, Wall Street Journal, ABC, NBC, CBS. I mean, those people almost every year have somebody there. USA Today, I know we have Jody Gersh speaking on a panel this year. Some of them are speakers. Some of them are sometimes sponsors. Some of them, like you said, they're just attending. They're there to learn, too, and look for opportunity and to meet content creators. I know Comcast has been to the show many times. I mean, going back to what you were saying earlier about ISPs, Tim, I mean, it's a weird dynamic.
I wish you hadn't used that name, because every time we bring that name up, we get throttled. We have technical difficulties.
Never use the C word on the show.
No. Now I know for the next time, never use the C word.
But yeah, we have a different definition of it.
But it's a funny dynamic, again, in how the model's not defined yet, where same people who might be throttling your bandwidth at one point might also be a sponsor for your show.
Then you can talk nice about them when they are.
Yes, exactly.
And what do they look for? I mean, because it's not like an advertising deal, right? It's not like, hey, you know, put a banner ad on my website. Like, what have you seen? You know, and this has evolved, of course, over time. But you know, when a brand shows up there, they're looking at content creators. What are they looking for? What are they trying to establish? And what should people be asking about when they do happen to run into one of these people?
So again, I'd say that varies. There are some brands that are more sophisticated than others, like Ford, who's been involved with the show for many years now. But others, I would say, they don't really know what they're looking for either until they see it. You know, it's like porn. You'll know it when you see it. Right. So it is the simple answer is it's the right fit of content that's relevant to the audience of the brand. So, you know, it just depends on what your content is and whether it fits whatever that demographic of that audience is for the brand. And exactly, Lon, they don't want it to be banner ads or an infomercial or something that's invasive or intrusive to the consumer. They want it to be something that the consumer enjoys and therefore develops this kind of brand affinity, if you will.
Some authenticity is more important than a commercialization kind of approach to it.
Which, by the way, go back into television history to the soap operas. I mean, soap operas existed because the soap companies supported those shows, and it was very upfront. You know, this show presented to you by Tide, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, we're really kind of going back to something that we were doing 50 years ago in television.
Right. It's almost what's old is new again. It's the old is the new fad.
Yep.
Very intriguing.
Another thing I just wanted to mention,
sure.
Can you imagine – you know, your TV company saying, oh, no, you can't watch any more shows. You've consumed too much content on your television. That makes no sense at all. And which goes back to, you know, even gigantic industries haven't figured out what their place in the world is. You know, I pay one price and I get to use the service as much as I want. I mean, there's no doubt that will happen, but companies are still fighting with that. How is it going to work?
Right, and how's my free pipe going to work with your free pipe and connect those two components there? It's and sometimes as small content creators, we're kind of the victims here.
We are the victims, the ones with the least power. You know, this is another great important point too, Lon. We are at an amazing point in history for content creators where we have some power that we've never had before, but we still have less power than anybody else. Right,
right.
And trust me, all of those big powers that be want to put us all right back in the bottle, right?
I'm
and
sure.
that's one of the reasons I think New Media Expo is so important for us all to, you know, talk to each other about how do we keep this little bit of control that we have now, how do we expand on that versus let these guys put us back in the box?
So it's good therapy in addition to education.
Yeah. But again, it's the education part. It's like, how do we develop our model so we can compete with these guys? Because content creators didn't think about that back in the 50s. They were just happy to have a job working for the man. They got their paycheck. Now we want to be the man.
That's right. We want to be the man. And
that's
Tim
right.
is the man. So,
right.
So let's say we someone's watching here. We've got a couple days before the show kicks off on January 4th, 2014. So,
wow.
If people want to go, right? You got some work to do here, Rick. If people want to go, where should they go, and how do they become an attendee?
NMXLive.com. They can use a code TWEET20. I'll use a Twitter code. Save 20% off any pass, and just come to Las Vegas January 4th. And hang out with thousands of content creators who have the same passion for new media that you do, and try to expand what you're doing with your content and make the most out of it.
And the best part is it's at the Rio, so you never have to leave the hotel. You just go downstairs and you're there.
And the rooms are cheap, $99 bucks a night. Yeah, the rooms
huge.
Are big. Yeah, that's right.
So if you have a snoring roommate, you can just stick him in the other side of the room. You won't hear him. So it's a great opportunity. I got a lot out of the show last year. It was my first time going last year, and we really helped my little fledgling company here give us a lot of direction and led to some significant growth. Not only just in the people we met, but just in learning what we shouldn't be wasting time on. And there was tremendous value for us. And I really wanted to let you know that we got a lot
Thank
out of
you,
it.
Thank you, Lon. I'm glad to hear that.
I'm looking forward to coming again and bringing somebody else from my group, and we're going to have some fun there.
Great.
Tim, anything else for Rick? I think we got a good overview here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming on, Rick. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for being patient with the technology, too.
Our life Great. is technological patience.
So. Well, I heard Tim say before I got on, with Google Plus Hangouts right now, it is kind of different every week because we're doing Hangouts ourselves too. And one thing that works one day doesn't work the next day.
Oh, I can't even – this show has been like a science experiment more than anything else because people that have watched this have seen – usually I have a little studio in my basement where we shoot this from, but they screwed up the software for the virtual camera driver that I was using. So I've been stuck in my home office for the last month and a half because I upgraded to Mavericks and now the audio driver doesn't work. So it's killing me because there's a lot of stuff I want to show and I can't show it because it's just not as easy. But
by the way, this is another thing though that I think is okay. The consumer of content is much more sophisticated now than it has been in the past. And I think traditional media lost touch with that and with who their audience was and really kind of dumbed down their content for the audience and kind of took the audience for granted a little bit. I think people now are more forgiving when we have these technology problems. They like to see the right. stuff that happens behind the scenes and how the sausage is made. And they want us to be open and transparent with them on, what it takes to put the show on the air.
You know what they say, if you're not paying for the technology, you are the product.
That's right.
That's right, yeah. If the product is free, the product is you.
Right.
That's right.
Absolutely. And I think, where Google should get some props is that it's the one of these products that they're actually sharing a little bit of the revenue with the people that help make it work. Because you're not seeing it on Facebook and other places.
Another thing you touched on, Lon, I know that's will be a topic at the show. I know it's a topic in the web TV community in general. Maybe I'll say something that people won't say out loud, that all content creators, video, are beholden to YouTube, but they all hate YouTube. They really wish they could have other options.
Right.
But just, again, imagine, there's only one channel on the television. We're back to the days when it's NBC.
It's true. And what? I'll tell you, I make more content because I know I'm getting paid on YouTube. I've put it on other platforms, and based on who knows what, I would imagine the search secret sauce. My revenue comes from YouTube, and that's what's motivating me to continue. But you know what? If one day YouTube decided that it didn't like me, I'm done. It's kind of scary.
So I'm sorry. Just one more thing to touch on real quick. So we had a guy give a talk in New York a couple years ago. A guy named Gary Hoover. Did you see that, Tim?
I don't know that I did.
Okay, so he talked about the founder of Time Magazine and the founder of CBS Radio and then Television. And one guy's name's Henry Luce, and I forget the other guy's name. You know the founder of CBS? Do you remember his name, Tim?
I don't.
Okay, so anyway, NBC, the guy who started NBC, created all the technology that we use in television, like he invented color television and different types of cameras and all that sort of stuff. CBS focused on content. And again, I don't know if you guys know this, but NBC was the national broadcasting company. It was literally sanctioned and assisted by the federal government. And CBS was this upstart, which was a ship-to-ship and ship-to-shore radio service, which became CBS Television. Really? Had to compete with this government entity. And what they did was they made better content. And they got Jack Benny back in the day. And they got a television news guy. I'm forgetting the guy's name now, but he was the leading anchor man at the time. And for a while, for about 20 years, CBS had something like 8 or 9 of the top 10 television shows in TV for 20 years. And because they had better content, they were able to overcome the national broadcasting company, and which later, you know, brought around ABC and then brought around cable. I mean, the explosion that we just had just 25 years ago when cable exploded. So it's just one more thing to remind ourselves that if you have great content, you can compete with somebody even as big and as monolithic as a YouTube, right, a Google, people, an IBM, Yahoo. People can come around and compete with them if the content is good.
And I think that is a very good point to make, and people can learn a lot more about making some of that great content at nmxlive.com. Sign up and see us all there. We'll all be there. So I think it'll be a fun time, and I'm looking forward to it. So, Rick, thanks again for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We'll see you in Vegas.
See you in Vegas.
All right. Have a good afternoon, and we will chat soon. Tim, do you want to wrap up with some IAW TV news? Because we have a special guest who will be presenting the awards.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of stuff going on with the IAW TV Awards. We've got a lot of nominees. In fact, today coming down I'm losing my train of thought here. There's so much going on. But today's the last day for voting to take place. So all the different nominees are going to wrap up, and we'll have a good idea who the winners are within a few days, but that'll be announced at the award show. And this year we have a Emmy award-winning actress who is going to be on our hosting the event, and she's been on True Blood. She's been on I'm trying to think what else. I think she won the Emmy for a guest appearance on The Good Wife, and I think we're going to have a good show. So
that is great. And what day is that again, Tim?
That's Carrie Preston. She'll be hosting the award show, and we're really looking forward to having her there, as well as a lot of other presenters from the web TV community that haven't been announced yet. So should be a fun show. That takes place on January 7th at the Rio. So it's the first night of CES at the Rio, and I'm looking to a fun night.
Should be great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And if you're an IAW TV member, is there a difference in ticket price between members and non-members?
You know what? Correct me if I'm wrong, Rick, but it's $25.
Correct, $25.
Yep, come on, $25 for an award show to see the best in web video, that's a pretty good deal.
That's a good deal. I will be buying my ticket, so I will look forward to that. So, good stuff. And one last thing, Tim, I got a little tip of the week here, because we haven't done one in a while. I was perusing, because you know, this morning when we were talking about revenue and where parts of the world it came from, I downloaded my YouTube channel's revenue report, and I did the download version because I wanted to kind of pick at some of the numbers in Excel, and it gives you a ton of data. It actually breaks out subscriber views in your revenue forecasts. So every one of those reports on the side of the YouTube analytics screen that you're in, you can download a report, and it actually gives you more detail than you see on their website. So really helpful stuff. So check that out. It'll download into Excel. You can manipulate the numbers to your heart's content and get a lot of insights into what your channel is doing. So And I'd learned that, once again, I am strictly dependent on search for my grocery bill. So that is that is why I always get nervous about this stuff. So, but that will do it for this week. Tim, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at One Tim Street.
And Rick, we know we can find you at nmxlive.com. Do you have any Twitter stuff that you want to promote?
Our official Twitter handle is at NMX, and my Twitter handle is at BlogWorld.
So check those two tweets out, and I'm sure you'll be tweeting throughout the week as the as we round the corner to the big show. And I guess you don't really rest that much for the holidays, right? You've got a lot of planning to do.
Yeah, some idiot scheduled the show for January, so we don't get to do as much Christmas and holiday stuff, but that's all right.
It's all right, because your family comes in January.
Exactly.
So all 3,000
of
them. So. Yeah. It is a good group. So we look forward to seeing you, and we look forward hopefully to seeing some of our listeners and viewers there as well. So you can find me at lonseidman.com. I have a new domain, lon.tv, which will take you to my Gadget Review channel, so you can find me there. And we shoot this show every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 a.m. Pacific at behindthevideo.com. That links to our Google Plus community, and we also have a Google Plus page now because that's how we schedule these events, and that was another change, and we can talk about how that happens on a later show. So just find us behind the video. You will find us somewhere on there. And please ask questions on future episodes. This is Lon Seidman, and we are a wrap.
Stories for this episode were compiled by producer Jason Perrier. Follow him on Twitter at JasonPerrier. Behind the Video is a production of Ape Digital Incorporated and the Independent Media Network, LLC. All rights reserved.